today on Real Radio.
That is actually one of the most illogical statements you can ever say. Science does not explain away God at all. In fact, I'm going to come right back at you and say, science confirms the existence of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special Christmas edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Born, the Advent of God Among Us, Part 1. As we consider the message of Christmas, there is no greater or more wonderful or even more logical explanation for the existence of God. Christmas brought us the greatest gift of all. A perfect hope for every man, woman, boy, and girl was given to us when Jesus Christ was born our Lord and Savior. If you could have every need met, every crisis calmed, and every pain eased, what would you say to that? God made himself known in the flesh through his Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his nature to comfort and to preserve us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the very person of God who wants you to know him personally. Today in this special Christmas message, Pastor Jack tells us that the kingdom of God is within us, around us, and is coming again. But we're living in an age where two kingdoms are in conflict. There's God's kingdom and the kingdom of darkness. Jesus says to come to him to find rest for your souls. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And now in his message called Born, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
God, we just pray that as a family, as a church family, you'd knit us together in a very strong and powerful way. This is a very precious time. And Lord, for us, it's Christmas every day, quite frankly. But Lord, this time of the year gives us a grand opportunity. I was going to say excuse, but that's not lofty enough of a word. Opportunity, a grand opportunity to show and to express and to announce the love and the coming and the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it is in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this portion of this chapter and this verse of 1 Timothy, I have submitted to you earlier because it's been on my mind that this is the Christmas verse that has meant so much to me this year, this season. And while you're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it is my hope that Christmas and its truest meaning is something that is ever before you right now. As you look around, drive around town, see all the decorations and all the tinsel, and I'm grateful, I'm not knocking it, but the city is decorated, its light poles and all that kind of stuff. The mall is all decked out with Christmas stuff. That's fine, that's great. Again, that gives us opportunity to wish one another a Merry Christmas. And again, I'm grateful because this church, you guys will not let Happy Holidays pass. No one's going to get away with a happy holiday greeting in front of you. You're going to turn right around and announce to them a Merry Christmas. By the way, just for effect, on the count of three, I'd like to hear it. One, two, three.
Merry Christmas!
And that's what I've been hearing all over. Just the other day, we were in Costco. Yeah, I saw you in Costco. And we were just shouting back and forth, Merry Christmas. And it's great because people are in a hurry and they're going along and they're moving along. And then it broke out. I think Oscar started it. Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack. And I shouted it back. And then Oscar and a few others, we began to hear people out of the aisles and behind boxes. Merry Christmas is arising. And it's fun because you look at people. I like to look at the response of people, and they're looking like, is it legal to say it? And illegal or not, we're going to say it because this holy day for us that we celebrate, if we consider the magnitude and the magnificence and the message of Christmas, it is something that transcends us. And I love that. And if you're taking notes today, consider this. We're going to look at a message, simply this, born. Born. That's all the word that we need, born. And what does it mean for Jesus Christ to have come and to have been born? Who was being born? What was being born? The very necessity and God's promise that one would be born. What does it all mean to us? And so Bible students, Christians, listen up carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, our Christmas verse for this year. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, God was manifested in the flesh. Two, justified in the spirit. Three, seen by angels. Four, preached among the Gentiles, that is the world. Five, believed on in the world. And six, received up in or into glory, or the ascension of Christ. Six things that we're going to be looking at over the course of these next 2 days as we consider Jesus Christ at this Christmas. And so foundationally, church, look closely at your Bible. I'm going to ask you to mark four key words that are truly foundational to the sixth things that we need to look at. Why is Christmas important? If somebody were to ask you during this Christmas season, what's the big deal? Yeah, this is the big deal. And there's four foundational statements to the doctrinal realities that are all impregnated in this fantastic verse. The first word I want you to see is controversy. Controversy, if you'd write that down. The word means this, in common agreement. It means in open and full awareness. The word can also be translated obviously. If we were going to be speaking very casually, it would be obviously great is the mystery of godliness. So when we see the word without controversy, it simply means this, and I just love how God just throws it in the face of the world, meaning you can argue about it all you want. You're not going to get anywhere on this one. You can debate it. You can deny it. You can refuse it to your own peril. It's a fact. Obviously is the announcement that's being made. That's a foundational word. You need to mark that down. Secondly, the word great. It's that Greek word megas. And it means this, without number. It means abundant. It means surpassing. It means that you cannot count. It is humanly impossible for you to, in fact, enumerate the great, this mystery of godliness. So you can't debate it. You can talk about it, but you're going to lose. You can't number it. It's beyond abundant. And then the word mystery is the word mysterion in Greek. And it means this, something hidden from view. Watch church. It means something that has always existed, but has been hidden from view. It means a mystery that has been discovered. It means something that has always been, but it has now been revealed. That's awesome. I remember years ago, Lisa and I, and maybe you've been there as well, we were up in Denali National Park in Alaska, and people were telling us, if you just sit right here, you can look at Mount McKinley. It's one of the tallest peaks in the United States, or maybe it is the tallest peak in the United States. And we're looking in that direction, but you can't see it. And people were telling us, if the clouds break, you'll see it. Look, we look by faith at Mount McKinley. It's shrouded in clouds most of the year. But when it breaks, when the clouds break, I guess it's majestic. I guess it's fantastic. Well, let me tell you something. Mysterion, that's the word. It's always there. The mountain is always there, but there's something shrouding. The clouds are shrouding the mountain. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And God's word is telling us that whatever he's about to reveal to us at this Christmas, the reality of the one to be born has always been there. It's just at a certain time, God chose to move the clouds, if I can put it that way. And then the fourth and final foundational word is this word, eusebi, and that is the word godliness. Write it down if you would in your margins. It simply means, but it's powerful, it's unique. It means goodness. It means godness, piety, purity. In fact, you remember when Jesus said to the rich young ruler who said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" Do you remember what Jesus said, church? Jesus asked him a question and asked him what? That's right. Why do you call me good? Jesus said to him, there's only one good, and that's God. Did you know that? That's why we say this morning, good morning. In Old English, it's God's morning to you. The word good belongs to God. I want you to know that. In true definition of English, good belongs to God. Jesus, in the Greek language, even announces that, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. What Jesus was trying to do to that rich young ruler was provoke him to speak the truth. Good master, what must I do to be saved? Jesus wanted him to say, good master, I know that there's only one good, and that's God, and I understand that you're God here standing before me in human flesh. Jesus was trying to pull that out of him. And this word godliness is good or God-likeness. So great is the mystery of godliness. And it says here that God was. Can you mark those two words? God was vitally, vitally important. Why? Number one, born into this flesh is why Jesus came at Christmas. Born into this flesh. And you can kind of touch yourself. You can kind of pinch yourself a moment. This flesh, this human, God-determined structure of flesh. Remarkable. If you think about it, you and I are so accustomed. We're so used to this skin and what we dwell in. This is our home, so to speak. It's all we've ever known, this flesh. We know how it feels. We know what hurts. We know what feels good. We know that we're prone to certain climates or certain things about it. This is our flesh, mine, yours. The Bible announces that at Christmas, God would be born into this flesh. Think about the scientific structure of all of this. That the God of all creation, who, listen carefully, the God of all creation is the God of all science. If I have one more person come up to me, I don't know, mainly it's young people today, and the sad part is they act like they know what they're talking about. No, I don't mean that as an insult. They come up and they say, Pastor Jack, we now know that science has explained God away, and we don't need to believe in God anymore. That is actually one of the most illogical statements you can ever say. Science does not explain away anything at all. In fact, I'm going to come right back at you and say, science confirms the existence of God. Why? Because the author of this book is God, and the author of science is the creator that is God. And if you take a hold of your flesh and pinch your finger or bite your lip or whatever, it's the same God that created you in this biological, miraculous thing called life. And the Bible says that God came in the form of human flesh and took upon himself this body. God would become like us. And so when we look at this, mark it down. Number one, regarding flesh we're speaking about, is that God was manifested in the flesh. What a magnificent thing. This is Christmas. My dear Buddhist friends, they don't have this announcement. Buddhism doesn't have it. Hinduism doesn't have this. Islam doesn't have this. Listen, even though it's in the Jewish scriptures, the Jews are blind to it right now. The Bible says God has put a veil over their eyes. They don't see it. They don't get it. Yoga doesn't get it. Transcendental meditation doesn't get it. That God would manifest himself in the flesh. And this word manifest, please write it down. It's awesome. It means to take what was invisible and make visible. It means to take what was shrouded and to make it clear. To make or to take what is hard to know and make it knowable. This is God's word to us at Christmas. That God was revealed in the flesh. He manifested himself in the flesh. That is, that God can be known. And so God would be, allow me to put it this way, dressed up in human skin, so to speak, for you and I to reach out and touch him, for you and I to be able to converse with him. You say, Jack, I didn't see him. I didn't live 2,000 years ago. No, you did not, but others did, and they wrote it down. There will be a day, can I say this? There will be a day when you will see God the Son in glorified flesh standing in front of you. You will be able to touch him. I can't explain it. He resurrected from the dead. The tomb was left empty. He had a body. And yet at the same time, when he wanted to, he could walk right through a wall. Now, don't tell me that's not the kind of body you'd like to have. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of body? How did it happen? When Jesus was on the beach in Galilee, he eats fish tacos. We know there were fish tacos. It says that he's on the shore cooking fish. They would have had pita there, so he just probably put it in there, puts a little salsa in that. And he eats, and they're eating, and he's able to eat, and then he vanishes from them. He has a glorified body, and yet you can touch him. You'll be able to touch him. But he came, the Bible says, and in several ways we see this, to manifest his nature to us. What's the big deal about Christmas? Well, God came to manifest his nature to us. The Bible says to us in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Wow. Wow. Are you listening? Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Church, what does that verse mean? Nature. Write it down. The nature. Jesus Christ being born into this world, revealed, manifested to mankind, the nature of God. What does this mean? It means whatever Jesus said, you don't have to guess what the Holy Spirit would say. You wouldn't have to guess what the Father would say. Well, you know, Jesus, that woman was caught in the act of adultery and brought to his feet, thrown down, and they were going to kill her. And Jesus spared her. I wonder what the Father would have done. Oh, I know Jesus did that, but what would the Holy Spirit have done? Are you with me? Think of it now, please. Jesus, we can relate to. We kind of get that picture. We understand that. The Father kind of, sort of. The Holy Spirit, yikes, he's out there somewhere. No, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What one says, says all. What one does, does all. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. That's exactly what he said in John 14. So that he turns to the disciples and he says to them, if you want to know what the Father's like, I'm expressing to you the very nature of the Godhead. You don't have to guess. The very person of God is Jesus Christ, seen, heard, touched, felt, and pondered. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John 1, 1, that which was from the beginning, that is of creation, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, wow, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 goes on to say that that life was manifested. There's that word. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is vitally, vitally important. The invitation to know Christ personally. Again, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased God the Father that in him, that's Christ Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. That is implied in a bodily form. Isn't that amazing? Mark that verse down. You want a verse regarding the deity of Jesus? Colossians 1:19 says that it pleased the Father that housed in Jesus Christ, having been born into this world, would be the very, very presence of God. That in the fullness, Christ represented and was in fact God seen among men. Backing this up more and more, by the way, this next verse I'm going to give you, you probably have already gotten this in the mail. I literally have a Hallmark or Dayspring, whatever the manufacturer is. I turned it around to look because everybody produces this greeting card now because it sells. It's Isaiah 7:14. The Bible says, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You see, what's with that? The word Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel is God among us. So listen, this prophecy 743 years before the birth of Jesus for you and I in our time zone, it's nearly 3,000 years old. Over 700 years before Jesus was born, I'm just giving this to you. Is there any rumor, anything in print, anything argued about a virgin being conceived with a child, a male child, and giving birth to one whose name would be and whose acts, mind you, his deeds would prove that he was the Emmanuel, that God was among us? Remarkable. That's why we say Merry Christmas. You see, that's why we can't have a happy holiday. Happy holiday. Well, look, happy holiday to you, but Merry Christmas. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. I love this. C.S. Lewis said, "Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world." I like that. Jesus was born. Secondly, under this, born into this flesh, to manifest his kingdom. Jesus Christ came to manifest his nature, to manifest his kingdom. The kingdom of God is far greater, friend, than what you and I can even begin to know. For example, if you're a note taker today, and this is not all of it, I'll give you, I think, six of them. The kingdom of God. What does it mean when we talk about the kingdom of God? There's a lot of confusion in this. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is spiritual. The Bible says the kingdom of God is eternal. The Bible says the kingdom of God is present. The Bible says the kingdom of God is indwelling, that is personal. The kingdom of God is coming. I wish it would hurry up. And the kingdom of God is. The Bible speaks about the kingdom of God like this. And when we read about the kingdom of God, for example, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said that many times. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is among you. He says, preaching the gospel, that the kingdom of God has come near you. And of course, Christ, as I said earlier, announced that the kingdom of God is coming. But we're living in an age right now, church, that it's becoming more and more evident that when we talk about the kingdom, Jesus Christ is manifested in the flesh to show us about the kingdom. Is it my age? Maybe. Is it the world around me? Maybe. Is it all of the above? I don't know, maybe. More than ever, I'm aware of two kingdoms that they may be in coexistence, but they are not in harmony. Are you with me? There's a kingdom of darkness that's raging against the kingdom of light in our world. Don't be fooled by the politics or by the violence or by the rhetoric. Don't be fooled by the news. There are dark and brilliant, there are sinister and loving powers behind two kingdoms that are in collision, constantly colliding right now. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Matthew 11, 27, all these things, the Bible says, all these have been delivered to me, Jesus says, by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And I tell you, that is both a wonderful and terrifying statement. That means you are not going to know God unless the Son reveals God the Father to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special Christmas message called Born Part 1. Thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. Our prayer for you this Christmas is that your 2020 will be filled with that joy that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christ is the reason we celebrate Christmas, and it's given us great joy sharing our Real Radio program with you. Thank you for welcoming us into your home and into your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.